Good morning, church. Good to be with you. Going to lead us right into Scripture this morning, into the book of Acts. After the disciples were in Jerusalem for a while after the death of Jesus, a great persecution took place. And the people who were followers of Jesus left Jerusalem to go out to the ends of the world. And to do that, they went to even towns that were unacceptable to Jewish folks at the time. And one of those places that they went was this town called Samaria. And maybe you've heard of that place before. If not, it is a place that Jewish people simply would not go. They didn't even want the shadow of the city to be cast upon their person, because it was a place they thought that God was frowning upon them. They thought that it wasn't a place that God was blessing. And so, as the followers of Christ were spread out, one of them, named Philip, who we heard about last week, went to this town called Samaria to teach the people there about Jesus. And there is this great revival that takes place in Samaria, and many people are coming to hear the gospel from Philip. We're going to hear more about that in this passage today. Listen for God to speak to you in these words today. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he amazed them for so long with his sorcery. But when the people believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you of having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and a captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Use this time and bless it, and allow your people to hear your word and your word only. It's your time, God. I want to disappear from this scene. I want you to be the one who is heard in this time, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, when Kristen was expecting Ryan, and we were very excited, we went to a baseball game, a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball game. And this was right before they got good. So that's the kind of fans that we are. But what really drew us to that game was not so much the Pirates were playing. It was the fact that after the game, there was going to be a concert by Huey Lewis and the News. Oh, we love the Huey Lewis in the News. He was a great artist in the 80s, had great songs to sing. He had that song in the movie Back to the Future. That's the power of love. You know, that was a great, we wanted to hear him sing. So we went to the concert and we sat through a baseball game. I think they won. And then there was fireworks as Huey Lewis was getting ready to set up the stage. And then he gets on the stage and he says, all right, we're going to sing. And he sings the first song. He's like, yay, that was great. And he sings the second song, and we go, yeah, that's great. And he says, I'm going to sing a song off of my new album. And we're like, never heard this one. Have you heard this one? And after the third song, every time they got ready to sing a new song, one of the men in the crowd would stand up and sing, play the power of love. And they'd sing a new song, and yeah, I'd be disappointed at the end of the song. He'd say, play the power of love. And they'd play another song. So disappointed. This was not me, by the way. I was not the one standing up and saying, play the power of love. I could see that on your faces. Some of you were thinking it was me. Finally, after the intermission, they come back. And the first song they play, the power of love. And the guys there are like, yeah! And the song ends, and the guy leaves. He had heard the song he wanted. He was out the door. Play the power of love. We all have moments in our lives where we're really expecting something to happen. We're really anticipating something that could happen. Many times when you go to a Penguins game, you hear these words, shoot the puck! Because they spend lots of time going back and forth. Shoot the puck! Nope, we're going to make the perfect little pass here. There's something in our lives we want to see take place. You know, get the quarterback! You know, whatever it is, we come to these moments expecting something to happen. And sometimes we push the issue. We really want to see it take place. And church is no different. Only, thanks be to God, no one in church stands up and say, play how great thou art! You know, or any of the songs we want to hear. Fortunately, and thank you all for not doing that, but every once in a while, a song comes along and you go, oh, that's my song. I love to hear that song. But many times, we it's not the songs, but something else in within the time of worship, within the time of our church fellowship outside of the Sunday morning hour, where we begin to think that that's about us. We begin to think that that's the thing that I come to church to hear. That's the thing I come to church to see. And if I don't get it, then I'm not that interested. Or I stop going. Many people have left the church because of the music. Because it's not the music that they're looking forward to hearing. And it's a shame. We try our best to get some music to try to please everybody. And when you do that, you don't always please everybody. You end up pleasing nobody. So you got to choose where you're going to go, what you're going to hear, and how, you know, I made a facetious comment a couple weeks ago that you come here and you get three songs and a message. You know, that there's only so much time for three songs and a message. We could, I bet some of you would like if we got rid of the message. It just played songs. He's not happy about that. More work for him. But there are things that we come to, that's what we really want to hear in worship. And here's the thing, if it's not working, then talk to folks. You know, talk to me. Talk to someone who can help you out. This church was so blessed for a number of years because you had some really talented youth who would come up here and they could play the guitar and they could play the keyboard and to the point where you had another service because there was all this talent that needed to be expressed and needed a place to grow and to do great things. What a gift that was. And it continues to be because those kids now have grown up a little bit and they've moved on and they're able to give that away out in the world that they're in. So this is the kind of place where if you're looking for an opportunity to stretch and to grow and to move beyond that three songs and a message, you know, this is a place that'll support you in that and will help you out and help you to grow. We really want you to be strong disciples of Jesus Christ, to get out of this place and to spread that word. And if we can help you in that, that's our goal. We want to help you to be able to do those things, to get out of this place and you know, spread that word. Spread that word. Use those gifts. God gave them to you. If you keep them all to yourself, what good does that do? Use them. Use them, not only here, but out in the world as well. My goodness. I like to remember when I was a kid, and they were having a youth Sunday, and there was the youth did everything. The youth were the ushers. The youth were the leaders in the worship. The youth did everything, and even had an opportunity to preach. And they asked me if I would be the one who would preach on that youth Sunday. And, you know, I wrote a sermon. I had it all put out. And I was much more formal in those days. I stood behind the big pulpit. And I gripped the pulpit like this so that claw marks were able to be seen in that pulpit. Because it's when you speak before a crowd of people the first time, it can be pretty nerve-wracking. And so, this one's already broken. You know, you can hold on to that because you need to hold on to something. But the one I really needed to hold on to was Jesus. And the more confidence I get, the more I'm able to move away from my crutch over here and speak without having to hold on. Somebody gave me the chance to use my gifts to try to learn and grow and look where I am. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who comes and stands and preaches before the church ends up as a preacher, but it's an opportunity to use your gifts. But sometimes we look at the gifts of someone else and we say, I wish I had their gifts. You know, I look at Brett and he can play amazing things on that piano and on that organ. And I go, oh, I wish I could play like him. I wish I could do those things. I wish I could have the musical abilities of someone like him. But that's not what God's called me to do. God's called me to this role. You know, Mono, when she stands up here and she leads us in worship, she does such an amazing job. And I go, oh, I wish I could do that, but you've experienced me leading worship. I'm like a squirrel. I can't pay attention long enough to the things that need to be paid attention to, and I wander off into these weird places. Yeah. There's a reason that Mana does the work she does, and I do the work I do. Same with Brett. He sings such wonderfully up here, and when you hear him sing, it's like, wow, I wish I could sing like him, and sometimes he's not here, and I lead the worship, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But we look at these other gifts. You might look at me and say, oh, I wish I could preach like him and stand before a crowd like that guy. But I have my gifts. He has his gifts. She has her gifts. It's when they come together and they get used, and people are using their gifts as God gives them, that this place really hums. And that's what God's calling, to find your gifts and to use them and not look at somebody else's gifts and say, I want what they have. Simon looked at the apostles, and who wouldn't? I look at a man named Eric Park, a great preacher in our own conference, and I go, I want to be like him. I want to be able to speak like he speaks and do the things that he does, but that's not who I'm called to be. Simon was looking at Peter and at John and saying, I want what they have. I want to be able to do the things that they do. And we can put all kinds of our own thoughts into Simon. What was he really after? The church sometimes has said that Simon was a bad man. He was bad because he tried to use money to get the things of God. In fact, there's a sin that the church came up with called simony, which means to offer money for the goods and services that the church has to offer. If I want a better blessing than the other guy, so I'm going to give the priest more money, and the priest will give me the better blessing. That's called simony, to try to use money to influence the power of the church. I want to be the head usher in the church, so I'm going to give more money to the church, and they'll make me the head usher. That sort of thing. That's not something that God wants us in our lives. These things here all this that's been given today? Oh, I see lots of yellow envelopes. Thank you for that. The trustee fund. These aren't your dues, friends. You know that? You believe that? These aren't your dues. There's no one waiting at the door to take your W-2 to calculate how much you make so that we can process, here's what you owe to the church. Yep, no one's going to do that here. If you put nothing in here, no one will judge you more harshly. You know, if you put a couple of nickels in there, no one's going to judge you for that. And here's the great thing. No one will treat you any less worthy of being here. And no one will treat you any less worthy of God's grace. Whether you give millions of dollars, whether you give a few pennies, it is all the same. And you know why? It's because you're giving out of your heart. Not to gain something. You know, you give your dues because you expect goods and services in return. That's not what offerings are. Offerings are gifts that you're giving, not to me. My goodness, I don't even get to touch. That's the first time I got to touch those. It's to benefit the church. Some of that goes to me, yeah, to pay for my salary, to pay for the needs of the ministry that I do, but you're not giving that even to the church. You know who you're giving that to? You're giving that to Jesus. You're giving that to God. And good news, he's not counting. He's not sitting there with his divine calculator going, uh-oh, didn't give as much this week as you could have. Yeah. It's all about what's in here, in your heart, not about what's up here. Did I calculate it out to 10%? Because God, Jesus is not interested in 10%. How much is Jesus interested in? All of it, 100%. So that no matter what you put in there, how do you spend what's in here for yourself? You know, how do you spend this out in the world? You know, all of it is for the glory of God. Yes, the money that you spend to go buy something to eat, you need that. But how do you spend the extra? How do you spend what's left over? What do you do with that? You know, Jesus has a say in that. He wants you to use that to better the world around you, to better the kingdom of God. So, you know, I'm glad that you give. Please do. I need to eat. But don't do it because you're expecting something back. That's not what it's about, is it? We know this. It's about glorifying God. So that when we give our gifts, we are saying, you know what? I could throw everything I have into this collection plate. I could throw everything I have into the people around me. And I know that I'll never be out of money. I'll never not have the blessings. Because the more I pour out into the world, the more I pour into the church, the more God's going to bring it back to me and bless me in ways I never possibly imagined. Every single time. I get a little bit of extra money. Every single time I get a little bit of money that I say, oh, I can buy something with this. Something in my house breaks. Anybody else get that? And I always think, you know, oh, I had these ideas, but God had other ideas. That money was being put ahead of time to prepare me for what God had in store. So that when that thing in my house broke, already, God had provided the way to get through that situation. Can't tell you how many times a car came into our life. And it's because we poured into the world, we poured into our friends, we poured into life what God had given to us. And we've never starved. And we're doing pretty well. God's blessing us. You know, I don't have $1 million. I don't need $1 million. I wouldn't know what to do with $1 million. But God gives me what I need. All of us. God gives us what we need. And we can't buy it with more money. You know, that won't satisfy. Simon said, you know, take your money with you, and wherever you end up, you know, go. But it's about what's in here. You know, you can accumulate a whole lot of stuff in this life. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Do you use it to bring more glory and honor to yourself? Or are you using it to benefit the people around you? Or are you using it to benefit the church? Or are you using it to benefit the people within the church? Or are you using it to benefit life around you? That's why God gives us gifts, so that we can use them to further the kingdom of God wherever it is we go. Whether it's here in this place, whether it's out there in the world. Whatever that gift is, whether it's the gift of financial stability, whether it's the gift of music, the gift of leadership, the gift of speaking, take that gift, use it to spread the kingdom of God. We get the great opportunity every week to come here and worship. As I said in the prayer, God, use this hour and let us just disappear and let it be about you, because so much of our life has to revolve around us. Can't we just take an hour to forget about our own self and to focus entirely on God? I am not the actor on the stage. We are the actors on the stage, and there's an audience of one. The audience of one is our Lord. We do this, we come together in this hour to give everything we have, to put our entire performance on the stage for the applause of one, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something money just can't buy. Means time's up. God loves you, and so do I.